Before we get to the Winter of Stein, if you're a fan of Rob Has a Podcast, you might want to check out the shows on the Collider Network on Podcast One. The YouTube channel turned Podcast Super Network has got everything for your pop culture needs. Check out Collider Sports, Jedi Council, One-on-One with Christian Harloff, Movie Trivia Schmodown, Movie Talk, and so much more. Check out the Collider Network every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's that time of year. Big Brother is here, but it won't last for long. So we gotta keep on feeding the positive in the winter of Stein.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Winter of Stein is back for week number two. Very excited. Rob Cicerino here with the legend, America's favorite player, Mr. Eric Stein. Eric, how are you?
Rob, I heard that Ben Affleck won't be returning as Batman. Was that just your audition right there?
Yeah, that made my audition for to be the new Batman. We'll see. A lot of competition for that part. We'll talk about
you
that.
Did not go on Celebrity Big Brother to get on the ins for future shows, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know. We'll talk about lots of Hollywood entertainment news along the way. Yep, with Eric Stein. Eric, it's been a week since we last spoke, and so much has happened in the Celebrity Big Brother house and outside. How are you doing, Eric?
I'm a little bit surly today. I do not enjoy the polar vortex, and I'll tell you why. It's not because it's cold outside. It's because it being cold is not a news story, Rob. I do not like when the news tells me, if you're cold, your pet is cold. Don't use your stove as a space heater. The devil's dandruff will fall down upon you. I get it. It's cold. It's not a news report. I could go outside and see that myself, and it has me a little bit testy here in New York right mm-hmm. now.
Well, you talked about last week how you don't like the fall. You seem to not like the winter.
Nope.
Summer, I feel like we've established very bad, very clammy in the summer. Is
fingers
it the spring?
For the spring. Yeah.
Is it the spring of Stein? That's your best time of the year?
Many years of evidence prove there is no best time of the year.
Okay, well, Celebrity Big Brother is heading towards the halfway point, Eric, and here we are back again to talk about it here in the Winter of Stein, and a lot to get into. How was your week?
It was not bad. It's gotten a lot better now that I get to be on the horn here with Pan Man himself. Wait, were you old or young Pan Man?
Yes, that was a you mentioned on the podcast last night about how that I was in the film Pan Man with one Cato Kaelin. We did not have any scenes together, but that was a movie that my friend directed, the great Tim Pilleri, and then you could see the 2011's Pan Man.
Well, not to knock your socks off here, but I once appeared in Bloody Slumber Party.
Ooh.
Available on Amazon Prime if you want to mock me. You'll find out very quickly.
Is Cody Califieri in that movie?
Sadly, he didn't make the cut, but this is so maybe we're probably the two best suited people in the entire world to talk about last night's competition.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that and a lot more. Eric, this week, I thought you had a great post where on Twitter.com, you ended up talking about the greatest diary room Big Brother contestants of all time, perhaps inspired by Tamar Braxton.
Yeah, I think she has been dynamite in the DR, and it got me thinking. And since you introduced me to the Twitter machine, I finally learned that you can use moving pictures on there as well, as the kids call them. So I dug into the analyze files of Big Brother DR past, And yeah, tried to drum up, and I was trying to be fair about it. They were not all personal favorites that I shared, but I tried to give a rundown of some of the people who I think may have been some of the greatest DR givers of all time. Where do you come down on this list?
Yeah, so I'm trying to bring up Eric's list so we can talk about it. But I thought your list was very fair. Let me see. Here it is. So here's Eric's list. Tamar is an all-time great in the Diary Room. I'd already put her in the top 10. Which other house guest gave all-time great DR performances? Now, were these ranked by you?
No, I was going chronologically from recent to least recent. I was actually pleasantly surprised there was not that much recency bias in the voting. I thought for sure someone who was on in like the last season or two would sort at the top of the voting, but it did not actually.
Oh, wait, this was a vote or this was your official Eric Stein list?
It was my own thoughts on the matter, but by the likes and retweets, I think it becomes a de facto vote.
Okay. All right. So just real quick, this was Eric Stein's list. You have JC.
Is that like a beef sauce?
Yes. Yeah. Great job.
For my
there.
Money, he's, you know, his ongoing fessy shenanigans in the Diary Room.
Is a moron.
Strong candidate for my all-time favorite right off the get-go. And that's not recency bias. It's just pure genius in there.
You've got Cody here on your list. Now, was Cody, was it himself in the Diary Room or was it he a creation of the producers in the Diary Room? Because Cody on The Amazing Race is not giving us great confessional.
No, on The Amazing Race, he's like, I'm a good guy. I was in the military. But this was good. Yes, we'll give an assist to the editors here.
Okay. All right.
But I did enjoy him.
Of course, you have Paul on your list.
You know, I know there's a lot of big Paul stands out there these days. But here's the thing. Before he ruined the show, I think the season before, people
season
forget,
18.
Look at this man. Like, can you do moves like that? That was nice.
He was an all-time great in season 18 in he shouldn't have come back two seasons in a row.
He's an all-time worst in his next season.
Yeah, Johnny Mac.
No.
Yeah.
Johnny Mac getting a lot of love on this this poll. I mean, he's always been a favorite of mine, but I didn't know that he had such mainstream appeal. It's no wonder that they brought back the entire cast of Big Brother 17 other than him and Vanessa. Oh, wait.
Okay, you have Mama Day here, which I think was a little bit of a surprise on the list.
I'm trying to cover my bases, and I feel like, she brought some entertainment value in her day.
I think she's best known for her gifts as opposed to her Diary Rooms.
Yeah, I think that she's probably also not getting the love from the BB fans anymore. You know, she's left us high and dry to join our bore. Paulie, over in the challenge. So.
Yes. I thought here's another.
Hashtag shocker.
Judas is on the list here.
Yes, there was some
Austin
confusion.
Madison.
I thought that Austin was who I was promoting here. But any person who has a split personality and a top
like
hat
that.
Has to get some consideration. Okay. I mean, the man came with props and an entire alter ego. I don't know why he gets hated on the way he did. It's probably because, of his Liz saga, but I'm here for it. Okay. I'd like to see the more from Judas.
All right, you have Mr. Fruit Loop Dingus himself.
Zach Rance. One of CBS's favorite sons right here.
Yes. No qualms there. Amanda Zuckerman.
Amanda is one of the great mysteries to me, other than the fact that they've blacklisted the entire season of contestants, but Amanda should have been back on the show many times over. Great entertainment and decent player as well.
Yeah. You have Rachel Riley on your list.
Another one where it's almost like as you go further back down on the list, people are no longer appreciating what these people originally brought to the show. It's like, oh, yes, legend Rachel Riley. Well, there's a reason that these people returned to the show in the first place. She was spitting fire in the Diary Room, especially, I think, on 12.
More Big Brother 12. Here's Matt Hoffman.
Yes, he's not moving in his photo. I think
he wasn't giftable.
Williams had gotten together prior to that photo being taken, so he's a little relaxed in that one.
Yeah, Brittany Haynes.
How would you describe that dance move?
So it's like an Arrested Development chicken dance.
Oh yes, cock, cock, cock.
Yeah. Yeah, like Jordan Lloyd.
I feel like this Jordan was sold short. I mean, she couldn't tell time. That was pretty good diary room.
You got Ronnie.
She look on her face. She even looks confused in the screen grab right there.
Yeah. You got Ronnie crying in the diary room.
So Ronnie is probably my all-time favorite in the diary room. No one would ever possibly remember this, but there was some sort of veto competition where they were collecting coins in the backyard, and he stopped down a diary room in the middle of the session because he found some loose change in his buttocks, and he pulled it out. He's, oh, look, I just found a quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You don't find that in today's scripted session.
Okay. And then you have Michelle here. I thought that was another stunner to me.
All right. Well, couldn't find the actual footage, but you know, if you recall, she actually in the unitard, she turned her full back.
Yeah, by the way, for the podcast listeners, this is Big Brother 10. Michelle has made Eric Stein's list of all time diary room.
And did a full confessional backwards screaming at the camera. Come on. That is good energy right there. I'm an appreciator of the OG unscripted diary room. You know, I once we started getting Lane and he's like, I rode my tractor trailer to the veto competition and I baled some hay with the competition.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Enough.
Okay. You have both Donatos.
I think that this is fair, objectively fair, that they would both appear here. I actually think that Dick, his in-house energy was probably more what he was known for than his diary rooms. But I think when you're name-checking people who were sort of, you know, iconic for their sound bites, it would have been wrong not include him.
Okay. And then we're going all the way back to Danielle, Big Brother 3.
Yeah, notice we did skip a few seasons in there from 8 down to 3.
Yeah.
Sadly, Robert and G did not make the cut.
Yeah. No Marcellus here?
He's actually next.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Marcellus, but not in the diary room.
Yes, yeah. They didn't make these funny moving pictures back in the day. Okay. So.
Yes, and then you've got Dr. Will.
Yep.
But no Boogie. No Boogie on the list.
I mean, yeah, probably should have gone with them together, but you know,
okay.
I was lazy. Right.
So you've gone more than just a little fancy Fencerton. This was not quite a top 10.
Oh no. This was just a for your consideration,
yes,
you know, okay. Type of, you know, not telling people what to think, letting them, you know, assess. And I believe for the most part, people seemed on board with it. The only one that seemed to have some traction was Shelby from OTT. Seemed to be
for that from Adam Pock.
People were. Yes, okay. I got a lot of phone calls from Adam Pock. Hey.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's get to the Celebrity Big Brother. And so, Eric, let's just touch on. We last spoke 1 week ago, Thursday, at that time that we did not know at that time what was the story with Anthony Scaramucci. To fast forward to now, I guess we kind of got a story. Eric, that I know your tagline has been oof. But should we consider replacing oof with mooch?
Yeah, I think this was clearly a five mooch situation.
Five mooch.
Yeah, but I think he blew it up in production's face by just going rogue with his interviews and just being like, nah, I was never going to be there. No, I didn't quit. This is my contract. I came here just to hang out for 5 days. What's crazy about that? And I just beautifully love the story that they told. I mean, this is just the best, guys. I mean, I would give anything to be at the producer's table as these EW interviews are rolling in. So if anything, I think he, you know, he did what he does best. He's the communications director. He spun the whole story. I met some great down-to-earth people. I mean, is this what he considers a down-to-earth common person? I don't know too many Tamars and Joey Lawrences in my life, but I love it. He did a full spin cycle on this and he came out looking great. The producers look like buffoons. And that's,
well, that's a bit. Eric, the question that I can't wrap my head around of, okay, so they had the mooch. We have him for 5 days. He's going to leave. We're going to say it's a twist when he leaves. Why not do anything with him that would be in the nature of a twist, like him being there and just leaving? It's not a twist to me. It's just a thing that happened.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with you. I mean, a daily press conference. might have worked. So, you know, that would have made sense in a celebrity yeah. world. Right. Actually sabotaging things. Some sort of polling or voting might have made sense as it pertains to him. But mm-hmm. yeah,
he was not a saboteur. He was not, you know, a guardian angel. He was nothing. He was just there, seemed indifferent about being there, had no pull in any direction, and then was just gone.
He left for a Gronk cruise that he won while he was there.
That's possible. If we could see him on the,
How did it shake down for you in comparison to such hits like The Takeover? You feel like this was less impactful than,
yes.
Get ready for a takeover.
Yes. Way less impactful than the Big Brother Takeover. Yes. So I don't know. They haven't brought Kathy Griffin back for the takeover.
I don't know. It was bizarre. That's really the best way to put it. I wish I had something funny to say about it, but it's so perplexing that it was just a total misfire.
Right.
But I mean, it's hard to say. I don't feel like it even got them any sort of, I feel like the, Omarosa stuff got way more attention.
Well, Omarosa in the house. I think that there might have been some headlines when Scaramucci was announced from the cast. You know, I don't know about him leaving, if that really moved the needle in terms of, you know, I know there were articles written, but I don't know if it was like any person was like, oh, I wasn't watching Celebrity Big Brother, but now that I heard that Anthony Scaramucci is out of the house, let me go and check it out.
Well, also, most of the celebrities are not what you would call particularly modern figures. Maybe where they went wrong is they should have had a further removed political person, like Jimmy Carter in the house, being along those lines.
Yeah. So you want to go somebody like way back.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Wheel in a 96-year-old to compete.
All right. So, all right. Let's talk about the rest of the business at hand this week. And let's take a question from our listeners. Of course, all week long, we'll look at your tweets, hashtag Winter of Stein, to get your questions into the show. Let's start with Stephanie. Stephanie wants to know which house guest got the most oofs this week, Eric, besides the mooch.
Yeah, it was a pretty oof-tastic week. I would have to say, I know people, they're pulling for stomach-hurty probably mm-hmm. here, right? I mean, where do you come down on that? I personally very much enjoyed that segment.
Oh, yeah.
I wish we saw more of that. You know, I could have done a whole hour on that.
Yeah, I I've heard from a lot of people that ruined the show. That was terrible. But the way that I look at it is that 30 years from now, God willing, if I am still walking this earth, I will remember that Ricky Williams had to perform the colon massage on Cato Kaelin.
And a sweaty one at that. Very, very sweaty. I mean, that was almost like a clammy E moment right there for Ricky.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know what he was getting so choked up about.
All right, so let's touch on this a little bit here, Eric. This is a question from another one of our listeners. Allie says, Rob and Eric, can you think of something that could have potentially topped the Big Brother massage scene in Big Brother past?
It was definitely one of the more out there segments. There's definitely been a lot more cringeworthy segments than that before. I mean, we got like 8 to 10 weeks of, Caleb stalking Amber around the house. That made me a lot more uncomfortable than one man's constipation.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of anything that, but this did not make me feel uncomfortable. They talk about nonstop in the house. Mm-hmm. If anything, this was just an homage to, 22 seasons of poop right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It had all just like backed up to a point, and then this was ultimately the culmination of that.
Yeah. If anything, I would say that this was probably the number one or number two best moment of the episode, most likely.
Season. season, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I think this could be a career boom for Ricky also.
I think so. Michelle Mabel says, do either of you ever get as sweaty as Ricky when giving a massage, colon or other? Now, Eric, we know that you get clammy. Would you get sweaty performing this type of procedure?
I feel like I'd be more apt to sweat if I was on the receiving end of the procedure. So that's where it lost me. But, you know, with some stomach aches could come some eye sweat. Been known to, you know, have to pull a shirt over my face sometimes if things are getting real bad, but not while alleviating someone else's stomach cramps. That's where it's really surprising. And I must say, I give him credit because he must have just been taking this really, really seriously. He's a healer.
Ricky.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I don't think that Cato was taking it as seriously.
Yes. You don't say?
My belly hurty, colon, fully need helpy. Medically speaking, of course.
Medically speaking, of course.
He is really one interesting fellow.
Oh, he is. He is, Eric. And he is such an interesting fellow that we've learned so much about Cato Kaelin, including his appearance in the film Pan Man. I actually have a Cato Kaelin-inspired game for you, Eric.
Yes.
Okay. So we're learning more and more about Cato Kaelin all the time. And I have a game for you, Eric, which is called Cato Kaelin Guilty or not guilty?
If I win, do I get to move into your guest house?
Yes. I don't have a guest house, but if I had one, you would be welcome even if you lost.
Wow. I appreciate that. All
okay.
right.
All right.
I am ready.
And here to sing the theme song to the Cato Kaelin game. Here is some Cato Kaelin.
I'm the HO Twitter, and I'm the Rockstar. Rockstar, you're English now.
Okay. All right. Eric, so I have combed through Wikipedia to give you a number of statements about the life of Cato Kaelin. Some of these are, in fact, true things that are on Cato Kaelin's Wikipedia page. Then we also have things that are from different celebrity Wikipedia pages. So the game is for you to determine which are the real things Cato Kaelin has done. Cato Kaelin, guilty or not guilty?
Okay.
All right. Eric, let me start with number one. Cato Kaelin appeared in the movie Beach Fever in 1987, in which his character created a love potion with his friend and hit on girls on the beach. Guilty or not guilty?
That feels like he is guilty.
Yes, guilty as charged.
It sounds like we could be in for a modern day remake. We could have David Gurdon, Jay from Survivor, a lot of great beach fever participants.
I feel like that in the love potion is frowned upon now, Eric.
Yeah, that could be a bit of a Me Too storyline.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we grew up in the age of love potion number 9 and just give this drink to a person and then they can't resist falling in love with you. That's frowned upon now.
Love potion number 9 made me think of Mambo number 5, and Lou Bega would have been a welcome house guest, I think.
Lou Bega would have been great. They needed to cast all of the women in the season that he talked about.
Yes, exactly. A little bit. Yeah. I think that the reason I think it's okay that Cato is in this film is because it predates his trial situation.
Yes.
That if he had been dosing out love potion on the beach thereafter, yes, it would have been worse.
A rare pre OJ saga credit for Cato Kaelin.
So maybe he is a celebrity after all.
Yes. Okay. All right. Number two. All right. Round two, Eric. in a series of 2010 YouTube advertisements for vitamin water, Kaylin appeared as Norman Tugwater, a lawyer who defends professional athletes' entitlements to a cut from fantasy football team owners.
This is very in-depth. Do you need me to repeat it? No. At first blush, I would really wonder why a vitamin water company would want this association, but I could see someone getting on a creative role and like it kind of getting away from them a little bit. Like, well, we can't get Johnny Cochran, so I guess we can get Cato Kaelin. So I'm going to say he's guilty of this as well.
Not guilty. This was Gary Busey. Gary Busey played the role of Norman Tugwater for Vitamin Water. Which
are you sure it wasn't Gary Busey as Cato Kaelin as Norman Tugwater?
It makes less sense, honestly, with Gary Busey as the role of the lawyer, but
you know, that would have actually been something intriguing for Celebrity Big Brother if they had also D-list celebrities who had once portrayed another bad celebrity, but they came and played the game as the person they played
in character.
Mario Lopez as Greg Louganis in the Big Brother.
So you would like, this would then fit the criteria of your Austin Mattelson playing the role of Judas in the house.
Yes. Like it's like a, and they go in with the thought process that if they do like a masterful acting job, they'll get like a career breaking role in an indie film for their dramatic portrayal.
Now, isn't it true that that's what Jonathan Bennett came into the house playing, Aaron Samuels?
It seemed that way, yes.
Okay, all right. Round three, Eric. In 2002, Kaelin participated in celebrity boxing and originally was slated to oppose John Wayne Bobbitt, who dropped out owing to being arrested for domestic abuse. Bobbitt was replaced by female pro wrestler Joni China Lawrer. Kaelin wins the fight in a majority decision, 29-28, 29-27, 28-28.
What was the year on this?
2002. Did Cato Kaelin get involved in celebrity boxing?
The thing is, this could be any multitude, any hundreds of people, but the story adds up for me, so I'm saying guilty.
Not guilty.
Who was it? Was it Danny Bonaducci? No. It was
Joey Buttafuoco. Joey Buttafuoco. Was the winner.
Bobbitt, not for nothing, would have been a pretty good house guest here.
Yes.
You can imagine her video package. These house guests don't want to be sleeping with me.
Well, Lorena Bobbitt's having a moment that I think that the tide has turned on Lorena Bobbitt. I think that she's becoming more and more popular.
I see her as having good reason to be popular. I think there are several people nationwide who'd like to do what she did.
Yeah. So Lorena Bobbitt, maybe in a future season.
Someone call up production.
She could be on The Masked Singer for all we know.
That's true. She could be one of the top five. Now that would be something nice.
Okay. All right. Number four. So you're down. Only one right so far, Eric.
Well, they all feel so believable.
Yeah. Number four, Cato Kaelin, he was seen on an episode of the e-reality series Sunset Tan asking specifically for a farmer's tan.
Guilty. Although, do you have any context to why he did that?
Okay.
I kind of like that.
Which might just be he didn't want to take his shirt off on the show. That might have been what it was. Okay, number five. In 2008, he was a contestant in the Fox Reality Channel show Gimme My Reality Show, in which minor celebrities competed to receive their own reality show.
This is perplexing because this feels like a show I would have watched, but it's not ringing a bell.
Worked on.
Not guilty of this.
You say Kaelin not guilty?
Yes.
Oh, he is guilty.
I need to study up on this man's career. Do you have any of the other participants on this show?
Gimme My Reality Show 2008. Let's see. Yeah. I gotta,
how did he not win?
Gimme My Reality Show 2008.
Am I hallucinating this? Maybe I read this on his Wikipedia. I feel like someone was talking about how they pitched a show where he would be a house guest with various celebrities.
He was pitching a show. He was pitching a show.
That's pretty good.
Let's see. So I only have the IMDb of the people that were competing for Gimme My Reality Show, but it's a who's who of the late zeros. Not Christopher Knight, but Adrian Curry is there. Bonaducci is there. Tracy Bingham, AJ Benza, Kato Kaelin, Ryan Starr. So
I'm shocked that Fairplay isn't on this list.
I think that he this was right after the Bonaducci
the falling
incident.
Out with yeah. Fox Reality.
And Fox Reality Channel. Yeah.
So to speak of falling out.
Yes. Okay. All right. Round number six, Eric. Okay.
You I'm need both of these. In my showing. I thought I knew more about this American hero.
Okay. You need both of these to win. Okay.
Okay. I also have a prize for myself if I can pull it out, so we'll see.
Okay. In 2006, Kaelin directed and released his own sex tape. However, Kaelin stated in an interview on Where Are They Now on the Oprah Winfrey Network that he was not actually in the sex tape. Rather, a stunt double had his likeness added onto it.
Boy, that's really dumb sounding. I'll say he's guilty.
No.
Oh no!
I thought you would know that for sure. That was Dustin Diamond from Dustin Diamond's Wikipedia.
Yeah.
He said he got deep faked back in 2006.
I always thought that the Dirty Sanchez was real.
No. It was a fake.
Why isn't he on this then? If he's cleared his name and his mustache.
He did the UK Big Brother, but not US. Okay.
Doesn't this feel like Hulk Hogan should be there, by the way, who also did the UK one? Some real misfires here.
Yeah. Okay. And then finally, all right, you've already officially lost.
This is a letdown.
Okay. In 2005, Kaelin appeared in the first three National Lampoon's strip poker pay-per-view programs.
Now that's true.
Yeah, guilty.
Definitely guilty.
Just to give you some more backstory to that, the titles were filmed at Hedonism 2, a naturist resort in Jamaica, which led Kato to quip, "The first few days were there were the hardest." He said the Playboy bunnies, the WWE divas and the pinup models were competing in the No Limit Texas Hold'em games. And upon losing all of their chips and clothes, they had to dive into the pool of shame and visit Kato's guest house, where he would interview the nude defeated players. He also appeared in numerous comedic skits.
This man has led a very colorful life. Is it? This is a possible scandal, though. If the WWE divas were there, I know she probably would be about 10 at the time, so probably doesn't add up. But was this an inroad to a pre-alliance with Eva Marie, by any chance?
I don't know.
It probably was actually China.
Okay. The late, great China.
Yes. Okay. Who we also met. The first night we met China.
Yeah.
And Ron Jeremy, I believe. It was quite
true. Yes. Yeah. No, the night that I met you at the Fox Reality. They should make a movie about that night.
Yeah, it's a real who's who.
It's a real who's who. And of course, culminating in Danny Bonaducci powerbomb. Where were you when Johnny Fairplay got taken to Slamtown by Danny Bonaducci?
I think I was supposed to go out with you guys afterwards, and that, put a little wrinkle in my plans. I think I was being chased through the hallways by Brigitte Nielsen. She was 3 days sober coming off of celebrity whatever rehab or whatever show that was.
Yeah.
And she was feeling alive. She seemed very frisky. And I think I was using my fancy footwork to try and avoid her after we presented an award together.
Yes, I think that Nicole and I were sort of outside. The power had gone out. That was really one of the major problems, that the power had gone out. And then it just turned into like a free for all of like people going up on stage and talking. And there was like heckling going on because they couldn't really do the show because the power was out and on a lot of things. They were sort of like on backup power. And Nicole and I had gone outside, and we were sort of getting the tea spilt on Sanjaya from one of his handlers. We're telling us like all of the tea of what it was like to have to handle Sanjaya.
And then you slipped on a shrimp and the rest is history.
And then we were slimping on a shrimp. And then Dan Liu came out with the news like, hey, did you hear what happened to Johnny Fairplay?
It's tough times. Sometimes. Yes. That was right before I went out on tour with the girls of Rock of Love and Johnny to do some club appearances.
Well, and Eric, just to bring it all back, and then Johnny Fairplay went on to celebrity box Michael Lohan, the spouse of Dina Lohan.
What a tangled web we weave. And here I am right now interviewing with Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, that's right.
What an honor. Johnny, were you there in the front row of the Michael Lohan?
No, no.
Fairplay celebrity boxing, Lindsay?
I was not.
Yes,
not
yeah, you, yes. Rob. My dad kicked Fairplay's ass.
Okay. All right. Eric, we're talking about the stars of the movies, and this was a week that we got to see another great film take place in the Big Brother house. That was when last night we got to see the Slaughterhouse HOH competition. Eric, now, not a lot of plot details were given to us about the Slaughterhouse competition, but I thought that maybe you and I could talk through some of the details of the Slaughterhouse film that the Celebrity Big Brother contestants were appearing in.
Yeah, I think so. And the good news is we have Joey here to guide us through it, because he has a long history of appearing on set in haunted houses, as any quick review of his career will tell you.
Whoa! Yes. Now, has he made a scary movie?
It must have been Skeet Dog, possibly.
Yes. Well, you're tying in all of our segments, because I want to talk through later on in the show, Joe, that we should use the power of the publicist to see if we could get some momentum for Joey Lawrence appearing as the next Batman. But I was going to mention that his 2018 film Skate Dog has caught my attention. Eric, are you familiar with Skate Dogs?
I am not. Is that the prequel to Slaughterhouse, possibly?
Well, perhaps in this scenario, we can talk it through. 2018 film Skate Dog, which stars Joey Lawrence, which is about a skateboarding dog. And I do have a clip from the trailer of Skate Dog for you to listen to. But let me just tell you quickly, the premise is there's a talking skateboarding dog.
I could have never guessed that from the poster.
Whose owner, and by the way, for the podcast listeners, that's Skate Dog, spelled SK8DAWG, which is, of course, the best way to spell Skate Dog. And the skateboarding dog is a walking, or I guess all dogs can walk. Most dogs can walk. But it is a skateboarding talking dog whose owner is not good at skateboarding. 10-year-old kid, worst skateboarder ever, bullied, but makes a bet with the bully that he can beat the bully in a skateboarding contest. And so skateboarding talking dog, and I believe also a sister who's also an ace skateboarder, are trying to train the boy to skateboard, to beat the bully in the skateboarding competition. Here is
and Joey Lawrence plays the boy.
No, it's unclear what his role is. Let me play a clip from the trailer.
Out of shred.
Oh yeah, check it out.
Pop. You gotta push down hard on the back of the board to make it go high.
And vert.
Go ahead, shower me with compliments, but I still won't work on weekends.
Joey Lawrence.
A skateboarding dog? Now that is something unique.
And David Arquette as the voice of Buddy.
I gave you pure gold to work with.
Skate Dog. Look for it on DVD and digital.
Is this what he's working on developing with CBS for after the
maybe,
show?
Maybe. Maybe a spinoff for... Version.
I feel like Air Bud should have something to say about this.
Yeah. Well, Skate Dog star Joey Lawrence, that he plays Mr. Hoffman. He appears to be like some sort of like CEO executive type. So I don't know if he's the kid's dad.
Matt Hoffman's father.
Maybe. And he's like, a skateboarding dog? That's unique.
There have been a lot of Big Brother contestants who, during their time in the house, spoke of their certainty that they were going to become big movie stars, you know, after the show. So I do wonder, with hits like Skate Dog already on his resume, do you think that Joey has the possibility of outdoing Enzo for the best movie career post Big Brother?
Boy, I guess that's possible. I'm trying to think of, Cody Calafiore, of course, he has an extensive, IMDb, and, he's in that movie about like the party, right?
Yeah. And I have seen some good short films from his brother as well. They normally clock in about 20, 30 seconds.
So, okay.
They might be the benchmark.
Any other notable movie performances from the Big Brother alumni?
IMDb claims that I played the role of judge in Number One Cheerleader Camp, but I must say that I was not in any such film.
Okay. Eric says that was not him. Must have been somebody else. Okay.
News.
Fake news. All right. So, Eric, can we tie in? So I think that we know who our lead is going to be here in Slaughterhouse. It has to be the star of the Skate Dog franchise, Mr. Joey Lawrence. And then this, as the publicist for Joey Lawrence, if he'll have us, that this is going to springboard him into becoming the next Dark Knight. Because allegedly, Ben Affleck has walked away from the Batman franchise, and there is a new Batman in town. Allegedly, some guy named Matt Reeves.
Yes, but he's not the real Batman. Joey Lawrence is the real Batman. This guy could not hold a candle to him. I mean, I've been thinking all week about what scenario I'd have to find myself in to call out my Joey Bat signal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious, where would you find yourself where you would need to call upon his help? I heard it's raining in L.A. Maybe come and blow dry you.
Right. So he could come in. He could come in and keep you dry. So basically, like anytime in the bathroom, it feels like that's really his domain.
But that's private bathroom stuff. You know, I don't know if he would want to interfere with our time, but you never know.
Yeah. So is it possible that we can add an H to take him from Batman to Bathman?
Yes, I like Bathman. This. All right. So I think that this is all converging on one plot for Slaughterhouse, right? Okay. This is feeling like an incident in between Mr. Matt Hoffman, portrayed by Joey Lawrence.
So Joey Lawrence is Matt Hoffman.
Yes. Loses his skateboarding dog inside of the slaughterhouse.
Yes.
Now, who would the villain be in this situation? Is it a Big Brother adversary? Is it a Batman adversary? Who do you see as being, you know, sort of our like chainsaw wielding bad guys here?
Let's see. I hope
Real Vegas for sure.
Yes.
One of the emojis from the Emoji Movie.
No, we're not talking about that. Well, is it possible that that Mr. Bathman, Joey Lawrence, Matt Hoffman, he took his dog to be groomed? Is that possible?
That feels like a possibility at perhaps Glenn's mobile grooming station.
You're picking up what I'm putting down. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Where a salad goes missing.
But is it possible that maybe that the dog groomer has an alter ego?
I'm listening.
Yes. And unbeknownst, it's like a Jekyll and Hyde story. And unbeknownst to the dog groomer, who, you know, spends his days, then that there is a sinister part of him that takes over at nighttime.
Okay. That does sound correct. An alter ego of sorts.
Yes.
Yes. Someone who.
Like a double identity.
Yeah. Okay. This sounds plausible to me.
Okay. And then we need, he's taken the dog from the groomer to his makeshift slaughterhouse.
Makeshift slaughterhouse where perhaps they are slaughtering victims for bacon.
Okay. And Tamar is somebody who's she's a lot of bacon in the diary room that she's like, it's a butcher also. So it's like the slaughterhouse is like the front is like a butcher shop.
Yeah, that's the facade that they're operating under.
The front facing butcher shop, and then back house slaughterhouse, and then behind the back house slaughterhouse is Cato Kalin living in the guest house of the slaughterhouse.
Yes.
So he and Cato Kalin,
bring your dog and have a hot dog.
Yeah, but Cato Kalin has no idea that he's living in the guest house of the slaughterer.
No, he didn't see anything. Not a thing.
He doesn't know anything. Okay. All right. We have a lot of other cast members that we're not using yet. Lolo, Natalie, Eva Marie. Can you cast any of the other roles?
Yeah. Well, I'm curious when
Tom Green,
Mr. Bathman, comes to save the day. Does he turn into Batman, or is that when he turns into Bathman?
Yeah, he turns into Bathman.
And he puts on, so he puts on his cowl. Mr. Hoffman, and then he puts on the beanie, the glasses, and gets out his blow dryer, right? Well, then I think it's sufficient to say that one of the ladies should be playing some sort of version of, like, Clarissa, Sabrina, Melissa, Joan Hart, a teenage witch who explains it all and does whatever else she did on Joey and Melissa or something, right? It feels like a natural sidekick, although I don't think that would be a bad guy. That would probably be his wife in this situation, I would imagine.
Love interest.
Right. And then there has to probably be like normally in a Bathman film, there's a couple of like sub villains before you get to the main, dog groomer in this instance. So like who else would be a rightful villain? Like what are some of the things that Bathman finds himself up against? Probably his own hairline. So like maybe Mr. Hair or something could be like a Joker, Riddler type of character or something.
Yeah. And Ricky Williams, he used to have like the long dreadlocks, like maybe that he can also be like, a partner in crime for Bathman.
Oh, that could be good. Maybe he has to get through a couple of Tangela stands, possibly.
Okay. Well, Eric,
like foot soldiers. But
it's 2019. We're moving on, Eric.
Oh no, I was just looking at the BB community. Nothing more than that.
They're
just
not in this. They're not in this slaughterhouse.
Okay.
You want to go to the social media slaughterhouse? Yeah. The power of the publicist won't be able to save us, Eric.
That's very true.
Okay. All
right. Are the dwarves involved? I hear six of the seven of them are not happy.
Yeah,
about
six of the seven dwarves. Six of seven dwarves are not happy, according to Cato Kalin.
Lolo is just angry.
Yeah. Now, ironically, that we did see one of the dead bodies in the slaughterhouse was literally the guy with the key was sleeping in the bath. So that was really that mess with Bathman.
Yes. Where was Big Dick Johnson in this? He normally makes an appearance in these.
He's the reviewer of the movie.
He's zero stars. Zero stars.
No, that was he was reading the IMDb page of the cast list.
Oh yes, yes. Yeah. Watch out with that. Also, I heard sometimes movies can be better than their rankings.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Eric, anything else you want to say on Slaughterhouse, or have we slaughtered this to the ground?
I think we've sufficiently slaughtered this podcast.
Okay. All right.
I do feel like we do need a role for Lolo, though, because I've been really taken by the outfit / costume she's been wearing in the house. One episode this week, she was dressed like a fighter pilot. Mm-hmm. She has some sort of a velvet leotard as well. And these are not like she lost the competition or anything. So I feel like we might be underutilizing her acting. Yeah.
No, she should be the love interest, because that I know from the Scream franchise that that we know that the character that always lives in these horror movies, these 70 horror movies in particular, the virgin never dies. That you know, that they're very puritanical, these films, and anytime anybody has sex, that it's usually a precursor, like in all these Friday the 13th movies, these two, like you know, the kids at camp, they start hooking up. That's right when the slaughter man is, the slaughter groomer is coming right in.
Man.
Yeah. So Lolo is going to be safe. She's going to be a protagonist. She's going to make it to the end.
Yeah, that's definitely right on.
Yeah, and she could also, like, you know, she's feisty. She could, you know, potentially, the people thought that she got kicked out of the slaughterhouse for punching too many people over the weekend.
Yes, I recall that in an early scene this week when Tamar gave Lolo, she said, "I give you one B word, but I will give you no more B words. Not one more, or we're going to fight." Now, Rob, I ask you, how many B words would you allow Lolo before fighting her? Because she could call me a B all day long before I fight
yeah,
her.
She has infinity B words for me, because I will never fight Lolo Jones.
Yeah, well, I look forward to the final scene in which she takes on the groomer's alter ego on Twitter.
All right, Eric, let's talk about some more questions from our listeners. This is, I guess, another Joey Lawrence related question. This is one from Roxy. Says, in honor of Joey, what is your favorite part of your body to blow dry, Eric?
There was a guy on The Real World once who had a segment about blow drying his earlobes. I always thought that was fascinating as well.
Why? Were they like disconnected?
I don't know. I think he just found it soothing. I am not a big, you know, the third of an inch of hair I have is really doesn't require a blow dryer. On occasion, though, after a wet skateboarding ride, I will give Baby Dino the dog a blow dry. And he actually quite enjoys it. Really fluffs him up.
Yeah. Does his voice sound like David Arquette?
Yes. He's, and also, oh, this is a good time for this. This is the prize that I was going to offer if I had won the guilty or not guilty game. In between the summer and winter of Stein,
look at this.
I went to a class and painted the great Baby Dino the dog.
Yes. So you were going to give that, you were giving that to yourself, or you were giving that to?
That is correct.
Yes. Okay.
I was going to put it up for grabs in a head-to-head battle, but then it doesn't make any sense anymore. So yes, I was competing for my own rights to my own photo.
Okay. All right.
Yes, well, it's a canvaspeople.com.
Well done. Well done, Eric. I do want to put that last week we talked about what was going to be the woe count for the season in terms of we had a bet going in terms of how many times would we hear
whoa
this season on Big Brother, because we said, well, we know that Bathman is not going to say it, we know that we won't hear Joey Lawrence say it, but Eric, we were all surprised on last night's show because Ricky Williams was having this conversation with Joey Lawrence, and listen to what happened.
I'm cool with both Natalie and Lolo, so I don't mind. You should be worrying about yourself right now, son.
Whoa.
Now, was this another inadvertent saying of the catchphrase from Joey Lawrence, like in his nomination speech when he talked about that a lot of friendships in the house have blossomed, and then when upon being called out about it, seemed to be like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Did he accidentally whoa?
I do believe that this was unintentional. I'm sure he went back into the bathroom, so to speak, for Bathman's bathroom to do private bathroom things. And in this instance, the private bathroom thing was berating himself for giving them what they want. He wants to build up anticipation. He wants, he wants that one moment of whoa glory. So he says, you idiot, Bathman. You shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Scott, that should be the end of the Bathman trailer, where then at the end, and Joey Lawrence is Bathman.
Whoa. what are your theories on the many looks of Bathman that he has been unearthing this week? Do you think this is some sort of character acting? Is he playing various versions of himself inside of the house? Is this like when Derek put on a beanie to try and fit in with the young kids in the house, followed by Summer of Steve doing the same? He put on a hoodie.
Yeah, so you think that he's relating to the young audience? Does it was it working for me?
Yeah, he's like, well, he does have both the winter cap look, but he also has a strange array of several leather baseball hats in various colors as well.
And then he's like, he gets like really squinty also in the diary room when he has this look.
I also noticed that he had his shirt buttoned up all the way to the top as well. So that could be something for you to consider.
Yeah. So
to be perfectly honest, he has the look of someone that you'd find in a truck stop glory hole.
Oh, no.
Or visiting. Well,
we won't ask which side. That'll save that for the NC-17 edition of Bathman.
That's my private bathroom stuff. OK,
you want to slip on my crustacean? Not good.
Looks very confused in this look in the diary room.
It kind of looks like he's wearing Hulk Hogan's painted on NWO beard when he like turned into a bad guy and they gave him like a fake, he maybe goes into makeup every morning and they give him this beard, possibly.
What? Ironically, that's how they put the stubble on his head, I think. It's the Hollywood Hogan. I think that's what they call that, Eric.
He also looks he looks very pensive, but also wiser in this. I don't know. I'm starting to get on the Joey train.
Oh yeah,
are we possibly looking at the winner?
I think so. That not to spoil my actions in the Big Brother stock watch, but if he doesn't go home this week, then I think he's a real dark horse to actually go on to win this thing.
He's on the rise for sure.
He's on the rise.
Assuming that he can avoid, slipping on any like a scallop or anything of that nature. Because I did see a couple of comments this week, and I was wondering your thoughts on this. So now that JC brought the innovation of strategy to the next level by fattening up the house guests, we were asked this a couple times on Twitter. Do you think it's possible that this was an intentional strategy to try to undo some of the house guests by creating a slippery floor scenario? And Cato was just wise enough to sniff this out and put a stop to it right away so his game doesn't go down, because the beef sauce worked.
Yeah. Eric, well, you're ahead of me because this is a question that we have from one of our listeners, Ashley, who asked us this on Twitter. Do you think that Tamar was working on a new strategy when she dropped that shrimp that Kato slipped on? Last season, JC was trying to slow down his fellow house guests by making them overeat. Maybe that's she saw how athletic Kato is and she was trying to slip him up.
Yes. Shout out to Ashley. She's definitely the one who brought this to our attention. And I think she's 100%. Listen, if it looks like a beef sauce and smells like a beef sauce, it's probably a beef sauce. So I think that this is definitely a new high end, only seen on Celebrity Big Brother strategy. And honestly, this would be particularly dangerous and effective on me. I am very allergic to most shellfish. So, you know, if God forbid
slipping,
a lobster
slipping on a shrimp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I did a food competition once with mystery foods, and the my fellow house guests, they chanted clams at me, and it hurt. They wanted me to ingest clams against my will and have to be wheeled out of the Big Brother house. So I think this has been a longstanding strategy that's just gone next level here.
Yeah. So the irony is that you get clammy, but if you did eat a clammy, you would be done for.
Get clammy.
You would get very clammy. Okay.
A throaty, closey, dumpy, needy.
Yes.
Empty penny. It's like I'm Allergy the Dwarf.
My belly hurty. Hurty. Colon. Fully. Need helpy.
What's also strange, we learned drinking coffee is lots of fun, right?
Yeah.
But generally speaking, coffee and constipation do not go hand in hand.
Usually that's the answer to the question.
Right. So maybe all he needed to do is get with his own ally here, and Tom could have fixed this instantaneously. He didn't need this sweaty massage to come into play.
Have some fun coffee time. Here's another question about the shrimp for you, Eric. This is one from 716 Fan Man writes to us and says on Twitter that I think that the basically the question is the how big are the shrimp they're getting? What size shrimp are they getting in the house?
If you think that I could answer this question, obviously you're not familiar with the type of groceries that the regular house guests get versus the celebrities.
Yes.
I'm not Frankie Hi Mommy Grande. I do not get to select my own, have my own fish brought into the house. I had generic Ralph's brand potato chips, a couple of chicken nuggets, a frozen pizza. There was no shrimp in the Big Brother 8 house. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. They did look like some nice healthy size shrimp that they were slimping on.
This is a danger. This could be an, maybe we're looking at a sneak peek for season two of TKO, possibly.
Oh, of course. They just slimmed on some shrimp.
Shrimp shot.
Shrimp shot. Hey, who are you calling shrimp?
Maybe that's it. Maybe this is all setting up for a cameo from Kevin Hart.
This could be Kevin Hart's glorious return to hosting.
Yeah, he's like, hey, I'm Kevin Hart, and this is 7 minutes with Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm going to interview the house guests.
I'm back.
I'm into it.
Yeah. They should just take the cast of Celebrity Big Brother, bring them right over to TKO. It's got the setup.
Oh, that is tricky, though, because they'd have to leave the house then to film at the same time. So,
yeah. What do you think of this, Eric? Masked Celebrity TKO.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Yeah, that's that. That could be what Bathman is heading towards. Coming okay. This summer, I told you I'd be back.
Okay. A couple other questions here with the great Eric Stein. This is from one of our ride or dies, John Tinkham. If Eric could have had the glam rocks play a set for his birthday, which of their hit songs would he have most wanted to hear? A, Come On, Feel the Positive. B, Sweet Child, Oof Mine. Or C, Pour Some Beef Sauce on Me.
Love this. Gotta go with Sweet Child, Oof Mine.
Okay.
I was concerned for you, though, Rob, during this segment, because we heard from a couple of the house guests that it is difficult to play this competition and attend the Glam Rocks concert if you have a badonkadonk. And we have it on good authority from your wife that your butt is your most rotund and
is that
robust
right?
quality. So is that do you right? think you might have struggled on the glam rock?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, I have not had any difficulties in life.
Have you ever tried to hang off of a flat wall at a glam rock concert?
Well, I now I feel like that the losing Survivor of the Amazon, I feel like that maybe I have something else to blame for it. I never really connected the two. That my lack of balance could be that I'm misproportioned.
That's right. That's right. It's hey, listen, you got to work with your assets, Rob.
Too thick, I guess. That's the problem.
That's your new nickname.
Okay. All right. Eric, this was a question for you that, you know, we've talked a little bit about some of these nomination ceremonies gone wrong. Kato Kaelin is nominating Tamar for being up there because he slipped on some shrimp. But Tom Green had to come up with some nominations of his own this week. I wanted to know that I thought that this was a curious suggestion that Tom Green had for his nominations, Eric.
I mean, put Joey and Tay Tay up.
That does Tom Green realize that that of the celebrities in the house, Joey Tata, Nat from Beverly Hills 90210 is not in the house?
I mean, put Joey and Tay Tay up.
This is high level strategy, though, because he's probably pretty well connected to a lot of people in there. So if they could get the proprietor of the Peach Pit out of the house. That could be a hangout where some of the alliances meet up. Undoubtedly, several of them are probably friends with Jenny Garth and so forth. So I actually could really easily see a like a Gabrielle Carteris on this. I would watch a season kind of like, you know, like the season of Survivor where they brought back the people who got like medevaced. What if we had the proprietors of the Regal Beagle, mm-hmm. the Max, the Peach Pit, all competing on one season where they're captaining teams? I think that would be really nice.
Yeah, that would be good. Now, I did look this up, Eric, that Joey Tata, that he is 82 years old, still with us.
I would have really, I'm very, let's just put it, I'm pleasantly surprised to hear that. I thought, I thought he may have been rocking with Casey Kasem at the Clamber.
It's my good friend, Joey Tata. Always unexplained to me that the Peach Pit is, you know, the local, you know, coffee shop slash diner that all the high school kids hang out at and drink coffee, opens up a nightclub. Afterwards, I don't ever remember like the Lighthouse Diner saying like, you know what, we're opening up a nightclub next door.
Interestingly enough, this is this very issue is happening on Riverdale right now.
Subject:
Chocolate 50s Diner Shop has opened below it a speakeasy, which strangely enough has a 1920s vibe, which is very timely.
Very timely. Big week for the Beverly Hills 90210 alumni, Eric.
Nope. Don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Then let's see.
Wait. Can people cover their ears just so we can talk about it for one
hold
second?
Hold on, Eric, if you want to, that I guess then hold on.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that.
All right. Eric wants to talk about a different reality show.
Now, all I wanted to ask you is what do you think that Adam Pock's reaction was at the time of the reveal?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think he was sleeping on the couch last night.
Oh, my God.
She's here for me.
Probably spit out an apple teeny across the room. Okay, Eric, let's see what else. Some other questions for you. Let's see, got some email questions. This is one for you. This is from Andrea, who said, did you notice that when Lolo was crying after the Lochte eviction, she said that she was upset because Ryan was the one who consoled her after she got fourth place at the Olympics, and Eva Marie said that he would do the same thing at the next Olympics. Was Eva Marie purposely trying to throw shade at Lolo because she's not going to medal at the next Olympics?
Well, considering her performance on both the challenge and in Big Brother so far, I think the evidence is definitely
she's
pointing
trending in the wrong direction. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, the fourth place finish was one of her best. I mean, how infuriating must it actually be? She's a very serious-minded, competitive person. And, like, I loved how she made up the excuse on the walls. Like, I would have won if my shoulder wasn't popping out. Can't have that happen. It's like, that's part of the makes competition, sense. Lady. It also wasn't happening, for that matter, but it's neither here nor there. The excuses are plentiful. I mean, it's got to be really eating away at her as she is, getting decimated by the likes of Dina Lohan in these competitions. Yeah.
Do you know, I don't know anything about the Olympics or anything like that, so this is me completely speaking out of my butt here, as per usual. But for Lolo Jones, like, was she at any point considered to be like track and field's number one star, or is she somebody who was just far and away the most marketable person that we had? Great name, very attractive, that she is like, you could see her in posts, like social media presence, like she's the the total package, except maybe isn't the most, you know, the top number one athlete that we have. But
yeah, I think that's 100% got to be it. And I'm not an authority on this either, so I'm sure we will hear if we are wrong about this. But I do remember seeing tons of video packages about her and publicity. She was in all the magazines.
Here comes Lolo Jones.
Yeah. She, I think she did the ESPN like spread about it. And I, but the thing is, it has to be that, because otherwise they wouldn't be focused on a hurdler in the first place. Like, that's at no time. I know enough about the Olympics to know, no, but that's not like appointment viewing. So they were definitely looking for who are the attractive people, who are the stories we want to tell, who could be the breakout, you know, face of this Olympics. So, I mean, in that regard, I guess she's successful, because look at her now. She's booked three other reality shows since then. So, I mean, keep in mind, Olympians are amateurs, you know, you got to get the paid somehow.
Would you rather go to the Olympics and lose all of the medals, but then be a household name? Or would you rather win the medals and then nobody knows who you are?
Would you rather go to the Olympics once and get your ass kicked by all of the fellow hurdlers, but then you can continue relationships with them at the Olympic Village? And if you ever play Celebrity Big Brother with them. Or have a giant hurdler just kick your ass once. Yeah.
Would you rather stay single and ready to mingle for your entire life? Or it could go any number of different ways.
Would you rather appear at Kato Kaelin's celebrity poker tournament or not?
Okay. Then one more question to bring it back to Kato. Robin Eric, last year there was a lot of talk about Tyler's profession as a lifeguard. I think that was one of our first Big Brother 20 controversies with the fans, when we talked about how Tyler's occupation as a lifeguard, whether or not that was going to help. Or did we, what was this? Do you remember what was the story? Why did people get mad at us?
It was something. No, we falsely claimed that he was a surfer.
Oh, and he's not a surfer. He's a lifeguard.
A very strategic lifeguard.
Okay, strategic lifeguard. Okay. Last year, there was a lot of talk about Tyler's profession as a lifeguard and all of the skill of observation that translated to the Big Brother house. Well, my mother worked at the auto show for years back in the late 90s, and Kato Kaelin would do a comedy magic show at the auto show. What kind of skill does a comedy magician have, and how do they apply to the Big Brother house? That's from one of our listeners, Colin.
I'd like to see.
Yeah.
If we could get the trailer to Kato Kaelin's comedy magic show. I could see that's like probably another night you had in LA once. You're at the Magic Castle. It's you, Neil Patrick Harris, Kato Kaelin.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fair play.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know. Is that something that translates directly into the house? Comedy magic? Shows, nonetheless.
Yeah, comedy magic from Kato Kaelin. Well, it's almost like that he could make a lot of objects disappear. And then you like they were just gone. They would not reappear.
They know he turn a blind eye to anything. I really do wonder, though, if you're trying to, all jokes aside, if you're trying to sell a car, what's your thought process behind, you know what? I'm going to get a magic comedy act from a 25-year-old public name that may or may not have witnessed a murder. Like, how is this going to inform someone's car buying?
Yeah, Eric, this is an auto show. We don't know sort of like what booth he's at, but if it's like, hey, it's the all new 1997 Ford Bronco, and here to tell you all about it, Kato Kaelin. Broncos. What? I can't believe it. Like, you could get away from everything with this thing.
And here I thought that the closest that a Big Brother contestant would get to this type of performance would be like Elena or Raven doing like a temp job for the day as like one of like the presenters at the Abbott Center or something like that.
Yeah.
This is way better. Way better. Okay. I would buy one.
Eric,
think that the Bronco goes for these days?
The Bronco from the case? It was, I don't know, yeah, it's probably,
I think it's available on eBay.
I kind of feel like that after the civil suit, I think they sold all of OJ's possessions. So I don't know necessarily if that it's available, but I don't know.
Something to look into.
You know, what do you do with it?
private.
Put it up on like cinder blocks in your driveway. I guess, and
hey. Like donated to the Smithsonian. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, it is historic, but I don't know. Okay. Eric, what else? Anything else from the week in Big Brother Celebrity?
Well, this was definitely a week of nonsense, but I am curious. You hit on it briefly last night, and I do want to talk about 2 seconds of strategy here.
Please.
I'm curious your take on how hot people should come out of the gates. Is there laying low, or is the 3-week structure the first 5 who align are going to make it? The people who know how to play the game are going to make it. I know in modern Big Brother, we've seen sort of the last 2 times, you know, Tyler and Paul each almost go, you know, start to finish and never really run out of steam. So do you think that the people who came out of the gate strong here are going to be the likely last people standing? Or do you think there is still room for coming on strong later, even in an abbreviated game? What's the strategy here for how you time this out?
Yeah, I don't think that Celebrity Big Brother is really the place for big moves. It was like Shannon came out, she overplayed, and then was a target after that where it's like, oh, she's playing the game way too hard. She has no chill. And so then from there, I mean, I'm not super well versed in the strategy of the first Celebrity Big Brother. But I mean, like what were like Ross and Marissa, like what were their biggest moves? So after they got Shannon out of the house, And then what happened?
I guess they had previously watched the show. I think that was the main thing that helped them.
Yeah. Who did they take out strategically?
Right.
Like at certain points.
Is there anyone to take out strategically? Like that, you know, we got that superstar Brandy out. Right. I don't really know.
I feel like there was like sort of like James Maslow.
He's like a foil to all of them. I guess like my question here is, right, so Lolo and Natalie Eva Marie, they've been at the sort of center of all of this, but they've had, what, 3-4 full alliances so far. They're the ultimate flip-floppers. They had the 2 guys who are already out. They've had Kato and Tom. They had Tamar. They had Ricky. So are they just going to dominate the game and walk to the end? Or are they setting up a situation where everyone's going to be pissed at them in the end because they've essentially turned on everyone? They are not playing a loyal game at all, but they do seem to be the focal point of the action. So I think what I've been wondering is, since it's so short, are they going to be able to ride this out? And then what choice do people have? Or do you think that they actually are playing a little too you know, fast and loose with it?
You know, a couple of things that we had last season. You had Shannon, who, you know, I think seemed to be working the jury a little bit. And you had Omarosa also, who, you know, was very like, hey, don't forget to, you know, like they wanted to have a thumb on the scale. Are there people this season that really are going to be super invested in who ultimately wins or loses? Like, is Jonathan working the phones outside? Like, you know, hey, Lochte, let's figure this whole thing out.
And I'd say probably.
So many people make it to the finale. I know we're worried about like, oh, they're going to get out of the house. They're going to see the tapes. Well, one, people who were on Big Brother 20, like didn't go home, race home and watch the tapes. So the celebrities probably are never going to go back and watch this. And yeah, they might hear things on social media, but I mean, let's see. I mean, so many people make it to the end. I just really feel like that stand pat is the move. Get an alliance, stand pat, get to the end, get to the final night where 6 or 7 people are still in the house, and then go from there, where I feel like that, you know, making like a huge move to get out somebody who's threatening you is, I think that there's more good than bad.
Right. Yeah, because I think that essentially what you have is you have factions like you have on a normal season, but what you don't have is an opposing faction on Celebrity Big Brother.
Right.
You have the people who are playing and then just the other people who are there. Yeah.
And we saw Joey even trying to say like, hey, why don't we get all the 5 of us together? And Tamar is like, no, we suck. We can't.
Yeah, I mean, she's not wrong.
Yeah, no, this isn't an alliance.
But as, you know, some of your squad like to say, everyone's the hero of their own story, right? So of course, Bathman is going to be the hero to, you know, take down this evil alliance. I think he actually may be. Maybe because, you know, they are a little trigger happy, the other group. Is there a world in which the Rickies and Toms and Katos and Natalie's and Lolo's take each other out and Bathman is left in the end?
Win a competition. He's probably the most like athletic person that's still left in the house. So that I feel like that, you know, if he can get through the week.
I'm just talking myself into this. Clearly, we know who's playing and who's not playing.
Yeah, but he's we thought in all fairness to Joey, we had a lot of funny Joey stuff today that I kind of felt like that he was somebody, he seemed disinterested to be in there, that he did an interview with Aika and she's like, okay, what happens if you're on the block? Good. What happens if you get evicted? I'll be happy.
Maybe he has Cody upside, though. His no selling of everything is making us unwittingly root for him.
Yeah. So, but at least he's pushing back. He's not laying down and dying. So that's all we can hope for from the celebrity cast.
My hero.
Okay. I'm everybody's hero. Okay. So, Eric, anything else you want to say? We had a lot of fun. Hope we don't get a lot of, I hope we don't get a lot of people like, did you guys even talk about Celebrity Big Brother? Like, that's not what this show is. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me have fun with my friend Eric for an hour. Okay.
We talked about everything that was important about the week in Celebrity Big Brother. I mean, there's only so much going on here, you know.
We got a million other podcasts where we're breaking everything else down. Okay,
We talked about everything I care about.
Yeah, this one is for.
I remember all my ride or dies from the beginning. I see who flip flops. I see who comes back when the times are good. I see who leaves when the times are bad.
Okay,
he's coming back to our televisions next week.
Oh, he's going to be on another season of the challenge.
Oh yeah, I can't wait.
Okay, and you follow all that?
I do. Yeah. I do. I actually worked on the challenge briefly.
Is he as good on the challenge? I saw that, you know, there was one week where he got into a big fight with everybody, but is he good on the challenge?
Oh, yes. Yes. There's reason to believe that, he has a love story coming up on this upcoming season that may or may not end well.
Okay. All right.
Don't want to spoil anything.
We'll see. All right. Eric, anything else you want to tease anything for next week? I think that next week we need to record. There's a show on Thursday, so we need to maybe Wednesday recording the Winter of Stein next week.
I just hope I survive the polar vortex to be here.
OK. All right. Any other thoughts, Eric?
No, I don't know what happened. I think I might have had like a drop of like my blood sugar or something. All of a sudden I'm just gone. Okay. We've maxed out.
Any thoughts about the upcoming Survivor season? You pumped up?
Oh, it looks like it's going to be a great one for sure.
Yes. Okay. Good. All right. You have a Super Bowl prediction, Eric.
I think the Rams are going to win.
Rams. Okay. There you go. All right. That being said, will we have a commercial for Celebrity Big Brother during the Super Bowl?
It's amazing that it's not the lead out, right?
Yeah, that's what they should do. They should do. Instead, World's Greatest. Oh, do you have a take on the World's Greatest?
It looks a lot like America's Got Talent, no?
Well, it looks very, so it's like you got people, it takes itself, I think the key differentiators from the World's Greatest to America's Got Talent, one, looks like World's Greatest is taking itself a lot more serious.
Always good.
And then also it looks like then there's judges, but then there's also like a panel of like a one versus 100 meets the banker from Deal or No Deal, like a silhouetted panel of like 100 experts that are also going to be weighing in on stuff.
I can't wait.
Yes.
Hit in the making.
Could we get any of our Celebrity Big Brother contestants to cross over to World's Greatest? Could Ricky Williams perform the World's Greatest colon massage?
I think that it's like, hi, I'm Bathman. I'm here to do a dramatic monologue.
Bravo, Bathman. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Eric.
And Lolo comes on. And comes in fourth place.
She's going to come in fourth place.
Eva's in the wings. Like, it's okay. I'm getting Lochte for you. He's going to console you.
A fourth place finish for Lola would be fantastic here. Just outside of the medals for Celebrity Big Brother. That would be great.
I would love the segment with the other three gloating afterwards.
That would be good. All right. Eric, the time just slimmed by today.
Very dangerous.
Be careful. Be careful out there. Okay.
Slippery out here on the streets of New York.
All right. Our next live show will be on Saturday night, where we'll be talking about the live eviction coming up this Saturday. And then word on the street is then another live eviction on Monday. So we'll be it really depends on when you win these HOHs. It's like Tom Green gets an HOH for 5 days and then somebody's going to get HOH for like less than 48 hours.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I have absolutely no clue what's going on with the schedule or the HOHs. Oh, or anything.
Just the schedule.
I look at my DVR and I'm like, wonder what's happening.
Honestly, I podcast about the show and I have to have like a calendar. I'm like, oh, wait, is it on tonight? Is it not on tonight? I don't know how anybody who is
outside of this world, the only way you could possibly be following this is it's just every night at in prime time, you just put on CBS.
That's the greatest, right? The greatest trick. The new head of CBS programming is like, we'll really mess people up because they'll tune in every night to see if it's on and maybe they'll stay.
Yeah, it's always a great way to build an audience when they don't know when the show is on.
I have no idea. And then guess what? Also, we've been lucky. It's in the 8 o'clock hour every single time that soon they're going to start playing with the hour that it's on. Oh. So it's going to be some nights it's on, some nights it's off, and some nights it's on at 8 and some nights it's on at 9. So
don't forget the 2 hour ones.
Yeah, and then we got 2 hour ones coming up too. So
that's those last 12 seasons of The Biggest Loser were rough for that reason.
Yeah.
Bachelor too. No one likes it. You know, they think more is more, but that is bad.
Might have to bring TV Guide back. You might have to, like, people have to go out and pick it up just to follow when Big Brother is going to be on.
And it's not just that you don't know when it's on. You have literally no idea what's going to happen on any given episode.
Yeah, what's happening? What's going on?
A montage of comedy bits, or you could see like three, like, you know, live or die, like, competitions. You
expect
know,
expect the unexpected, also, Eric.
Yeah, really. I think that I wonder if they know what's going to be in any given episode.
No. We're figuring it out on the fly. Yeah. Okay. All right, Eric. Are you ready? You ready to bring this home? Okay. All right. Here we go. Of course. So that's our next live show. Thanks so much to the patrons of Rob's podcast that make all of this nonsense possible. Lots of Survivor stuff coming your way as well. Be on the lookout for that. But let's talk about what's going to happen next time on the summer or the winter. The Winter of Stein. Okay, here we go. Eric comes on this show and he's trying to come in here and take the role of the next Pan Man. Well, that'll be over my dead body, okay?
Rob may have escaped the slaughterhouse, but his big, supple butt will not escape next week. I'm sending him home straight to the Hive Cruise, whether it happens or not.
Who will be sent to the Hive Cruise, and will they have a ticket for them when they get there? Find out next time on The Winter of Stein.
2019.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loving, there's a pounding in my weasel shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already, wish I'd stayed in bed. I'm not fine, but it's a summer's time.